Hello, my name is Fabian Wiesemann. I'm a master's student at Flensburg University of Applied Sciences. And today I'll talk about the integration of Intel TDX remote attestation into the SSH protocol. I will start with a really brief overview about the technologies I've used. Then I will state the project goal that I had. And then I'll talk about the protocol and the implementation. So Intel TDX is a confidential computing solution on the virtual machine level, and it isolates a workload from the software outside the trust domain, so the host OS, for example. And Intel TDX remote attestation provides us with means to verify that Intel TDX is enabled for a certain virtual machine, along with many other attributes that we can check and verify. And the evidence produced can then be verified by the relying party. And on Azure Confidential Virtual Machines, there are some special mechanisms that Azure provides us with their Azure Attestation Service. I will also use SSH. SSH is a really common server client protocol that provides us with remote shell access, file transfer, or port forwarding between two machines. And it comes with encryption and authentication both of the server and the client built in. It's a really popular protocol used by many other applications like Git, Async, and many others. This means if we implement attestation in SSH, we can use remote attestation with many other applications that use SSH. So my goal for this project was to modify OpenSSH so that our client only connects to an SSH server that can prove that it's running inside a TDX-enabled VM. In the protocol, which is a challenge response protocol, the client will take the role of the challenger requesting attestation, and it will also be the relying party, and the server will take the attesting part. The protocol starts with the usual SSH setup, including authentication and encryption. So from this point on, everything happens encrypted. The whole attestation information is only shared encrypted over the secure channel. And it also happens after the client, the user, has shown the server that it's actually a legitimate user of the system. So unauthorized third parties can not request attestation information. The protocol for attestation then starts with the attestation request that includes a random nonce chosen by the client. And the server will then use this nonce to generate the Intel TDX quote. And it will take this quote to the Azure attestation service. I'm mentioning Azure all the time because that's where I built the proof of concept. Azure will take the TDX quote, generate a signed JSON web token, and forward this to the server. And the server will take the JSON web token and send it to the client for inspection. The client will inspect the JSON web token, fetch the certificates used for the signage, and with these certificates, the signature will be validated. And then the claims and the nonce are validated, so we can set up rules that the client has to check before the connection is established. And if everything is okay, the usual SSH process continues. The implementation I did is based on OpenSSH. I created a new remote attestation SSH service. A service in SSH is a thing that a client can request from the server. So everything we have just seen happens inside this new service that I built. I've used the Intel Trust Authority CLI tool for cheap and easy TDX quote generation. But I'd like to mention that I built this in the summer of 2024. So I had to use the preview version for Microsoft Azure provided by Intel. The Trust Authority CLI binary also needs a privileged process, which is difficult at that stage of the SSH protocol, at least in the OpenSSH implementation, because SSHD is a privileged process, but at this point, SSD spawns another process specifically for the establishment of the session, which is SSH session, which has less privileges, but OpenSSH has a monitor implementation that we can use to relay messages between these two processes. Code generation looks like this. We have the nonce that we pass into the Trust Authority CLI quote command. There's also the option to pass a nonce, so specifically a nonce, but in my observation, this doesn't end up in the JSON web token, so the client can verify that it's actually the result of this attestation process. And as a result of the CLI tool, we get the quote and some runtime data. The user data is the base 64 version of the nonce we put in. JWT creation uses a post request to Microsoft Azure. I found this URL in some example I couldn't get to work, but the URL works. So we just wrap what we've got from the tool into a JSON payload, send this to Azure, and get the JSON web token. This is a small portion of the token we get. At the top, we see the information required to fetch the certificates. These are X509 certificates, and we can use them for validating the JSON payload. And then we have some attributes. This is only a small extract. There's the XMS runtime namespace, and then you see user data, which is the base 64 version of the SHA 512 version of our nonce, so this is the step where our client can be sure that this is not some random attestation JSON web token found on the internet. I've also linked the full version on jwt.io if you want to see more of this. And then you have the usual attributes like the attestation type and whether our TCP is up to date. That are my slides. You can find my email there. There's a demonstration pre-recorded on the GitHub for this project. And also there are links to the slides and the term paper I did after the implementation. Thank you. Yes and no. The service request I mentioned, the SSH protocol states that a server that gets a request that it can't handle has to deny the request and terminate the connection. In my implementation, the client will shut down the connection if the request is not accepted, but I haven't fully implemented some kind of negotiation, so if we speak to a normal unpatched SSHD, it just won't work.
Okay, why the reliance on Azure obfuscation? Is there any difference whether you trust the cloud provider and then you have any trust
in? Exactly, I had the same question, yes.
It's kind of a practical reason. I had to get my hands on an Intel TDX machine, and Azure was the only place where I could get my hands on a machine with a confidential TDX machine. And maybe I didn't have time to do much. So Intel TDX remote attestation using the Azure service was the first and only simple way I could have done that. I have no experience beside this project with Intel TDX or remote attestation, so, but it's a really good point, yes.
So the question also related to that in my mind is when we actually ask the cloud provider to do that signature, the job, I think in your case, that's signed by the cloud provider itself, right?
Yes.
And that's where we are questioning them. That could have happened that the server that you showed in your diagram, it could have been made to some other machine.
Yes.
And that's running on some other machine, but it's saying that I, as a client, know that it's running on XYZ machine which I expect it. So we still trust the cloud service provider to do all of the things, and remote attestation in this case specifically would not provide any guarantee. Like this, in the specific case of the confidential computing that model that it is with the claim that CSP is out of the DCP would not hold. Of course, it's a good starting point, and it could be changed somehow, but CSP still remains within the DCP. That's what I mean.
Yes, it's definitely just a starting point. The scenario I had in mind was, let's say I have a bunch of data I want to back up using SSH, and I have the policy that I only want to dump this onto a TDX machine that I know is correctly configured. So if I make a mistake in configuration, I can notice that using the steps every time I make a backup. But yes, in more complex scenarios with an attacker involved, there are issues, or at the point where I really don't trust the cloud provider. That's totally right.
Okay, any other questions? Okay, no, I have one note, which is that other than the cloud provider thing, so how do you think that SSH is different from the TLS? What kind of things it's adding on top of the TLS protocol? Going back to my presentation on attested TLS, do you think we gain anything by using SSH rather than attested TLS? And Harness and others have a draft on intra handshake as well. Do you happen to have a look at some other literature? Can you kind of give us some intuition of how does attestation in SSH compared with attested TLS, or Intel's RTLS as we now presented? So do you have some ideas or thoughts on that?
I have read the RTLS paper. Mm-hmm. I think it's just different use cases. So as I mentioned, SSH is a really popular tool that is used. And if we implement attestation there, it can benefit a lot of applications. A core difference I've seen in the implementation is that TLS can rely on the presence of X509, as far as I'm informed. So in TLS, we can just use an existing data structure and embed attestation in there. And as you have seen in OpenSSH, I had to add extra steps in the protocol that add a lot of back and forth between the involved parties.
Okay. Any final thoughts? Okay, then let's thank the speaker. Thank you very much.
Thank you.